And I'm going to talk to a very, very fascinating man now. This is John from Brandler Galleries. Morning, John.
Good morning to you.
How are you today?
Bright and breezy. Looking forward to a nice day.
Brought the sun with you. Fantastic.
Back pocket. That's
that's unusual. We've been just having a conversation. You are a very fascinating man, John, if you don't mind me saying so.
No, you can say that all day. I don't mind.
Now, we're going to talk about Brandler Galleries because I've seen you've bought some... You brought some art with you.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm really ignorant in this subject.
That's
right. So, explain to me a little bit more about Brandler Galleries. What do you actually do?
Well, we're in a back street in Brentwood.
Right.
We sell all over the world. Sell to museums. We've supplied pictures to Windsor Castle and Buckingham Palace. And I used to have my own parking place at the Victoria and Albert Museum. I'm in Brentwood because my family's always been here.
Yeah.
The gallery's been there just under 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still getting people walking in the door saying, we never knew you were here.
I never knew there was an art gallery.
Yeah, you said you were ignorant. we moved there because when I moved there, people went and parked in the multi-story car park.
Yeah.
And then they built Sainsbury's on the other side of the town. So yeah. Nobody knows I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm next to the Spread Eagle pub, basically.
In Queen, really?
Queen's Road, Copfold Road, where the multi-story car park is. And I deal in good art. I deal in art that I enjoy, apart from Damien Hirst and Banksy. But I've got those. Damien Hirst is a brilliant marketer. He doesn't do any of the artwork himself. And Banksy, I think, is just brilliant. I don't like him as a person.
Yeah.
That's a personal thing.
There's this big mysterious thing about Banksy. Have you ever met the person that calls himself Banksy?
Yeah, I met him at a friend's wedding. A friend's funeral. The funeral of the daughter of a friend.
All right.
I'm just not on his Christmas card list. I'll tell you about that another time.
I've got people like that, don't worry.
Let's not end up in court. But what we do is we do restoration of pictures. If they've got people's own pictures and they're dirty or they're damaged, we do restoration of pictures, we do framing, we do insurance valuations, we do all the ancillary things.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, although I'm an art gallery, I'm a shop, let's be honest.
Right? Yeah.
I don't sell paintings.
You don't sell paintings?
I don't sell paintings. What I do is I tell people about paintings, and if they want to buy them, they can. It's a different way of... It's a different way of behaving.
Ah.
So nobody comes in and is pressured into buying anything.
Okay. They come into you to source something.
They come into me to source something. They either have done the research on the internet and come to me. Because obviously, being in Brentwood, I don't have the London overheads.
No, that's right.
You know, high streets are closing. I mean, on the radio, on a radio station I heard this morning, called the BBC, they were saying that Oxford Street is... They're not going to pedestrianise it.
Yeah.
Even though John Lewis's, is it John Lewis's or House of Fraser, is closing down their flagship store there.
Oh, really?
The high streets are in such trouble because of the taxes, and everything else.
Yeah, yeah.
People are shopping online.
Yeah, fine. Of course they are.
You know, I've been online, I've had a web presence since 1990.
What's your website before we go any further?
Would you believe Brandler Galleries?
.co.uk?
.com.
.com.
But, you know, all you have to do is put in Brandler and you find me.
Right.
But if you put in Damien Hirst, you find me. Banksy, Tracy Emin, Gilbert and Joy. I mean, any of these artists, you come to me. And the idea is that I educate my clients about where things are going.
Yeah.
Everybody's got 2020 hindsight.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
The idea is by keeping my fingers on the pulse, I know to some extent, not always, but to some extent, what's coming.
Yeah.
Who is coming into vogue? Who is in demand? Who is...
Yeah.
Going to go up in value. Who is? I was offered Rolf Harris's just not long before the scandal broke, but I knew not to buy them.
Yeah.
Well,
so what?
We had one phone call from a guy. He rang up. He'd bought two paintings by Rolf Harris. It turned out.
Yeah.
He'd paid $250,000 for one.
Ooh.
$280,000 for the second.
Ooh, that's smart.
And when I said to him, "You need a London gallery to sell them," he said, "I've tried them all."
Might touch him with a barge pole.
And nobody wanted them.
Yeah, I don't blame.
You know, which actually, they're actually well painted.
Yeah.
You know, if you painted out the signature, you'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's the association.
It's the association, yeah.
And I think in 100 years' time, people will admire the paintings.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me, a different client asked me to sell something by Rolf Harris, just some prints. And I sent them to a sale room. And they said, no, we won't sell them. And I said, well, you sell watercolours by Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, on a scale of 1 to 500.
Yeah.
You know, which is 1 and which is 500.
Yeah.
But they'll sell Adolf Hitler's watercolours.
Yeah. That's just time gone in between. Time. It's just time,
it's
I think.
It's timing.
Yeah.
So I think in 100 years' time, people will want Rolf Hilfe's pictures.
So what is the most expensive piece of art that's gone through your hands?
The most expensive? Probably the most interesting is a better phrase.
Right.
Is some of the sculptures from St. Paul's Cathedral.
Ah, really?
Yeah. That was some years ago, but we had some pictures. There's some sculptures from St. Paul's Cathedral. We've got, in the gallery at the moment, we've got some Banksys. So we've got one that was rescued from a shipping container on Dungeness Beach.
Yeah.
And EDF Energy wanted to clean up the beach. And they said to the owner of the container, if you don't move it, we'll just crush it.
Really?
Yeah. So that got into the newspapers end of last year that we rescued that. And that's now going to a collector in Denmark.
What sort of money would something like that go for?
That went between 50 and 100,000.
Oh, my word.
But that's an original. But you can pay, I haven't got any. You can pay 125,000 for two of his images.
Yeah.
As a print.
Yeah.
Is 125,000.
Right.
He is the Picasso of the 21st century.
Yeah.
I don't like it because we started telling clients to buy them in 2003.
Yeah.
When they were a couple of hundred quid.
Yeah.
It's nice to be right, and yes, I did buy some for myself.
Yeah.
I've got some in my collection, but we deal in them all the time, and the hardest part at the moment is finding anything by Banksy for sale. I mean, forget the price, it's just finding them.
Just finding it alone.
Yeah, because everybody's holding, because everybody thinks that they're going to keep going up.
Is he still graffiti artisting?
Yes.
He's still doing it now?
Yes, he's still doing it.
You want to follow him about?
There's a few people that think that, strangely enough. But, you know, it's very difficult to... He did the big Brexit piece in Dover, for instance, which is probably 30 feet square on a concrete wall. Not the easiest piece to sell.
Yeah.
We were offered a lorry, 10-metre long lorry. Couldn't sell it. I mean, nobody wants it. It's too vast.
Yeah.
People want nice-sized pictures.
Yeah, that's right.
Not... Oh my God, I've got to buy a warehouse just to store this.
Yeah, just to store the lorry.
Then you can't see it. So
now you've brought some art with you. What have you brought with you today to show me?
I brought something quite different. I brought one of the things that annoys me in the art world is bloody computers.
Right.
Because you used to get an illustrator or an artist.
Yeah.
It's a very new split to call somebody who's an artist and illustrated, and started about 1900.
Yeah.
Before that, you know, Canaletto, Rembrandt, Rubens, Constable, Gainsborough, everybody illustrated books as well.
Yeah.
So what I brought with me, there used to be a company called Gordon Fraser.
Right.
And Gordon Fraser was the precursor to Clinton cards.
Okay.
And all those various other cards. And what I brought with me was some amazing artwork by a woman called Marion Wilson.
Yeah.
And there's some in the V&A. But what I brought with you, these are the originals that they then made the cards from.
Now, really?
Gordon Fraser was the biggest card maker in Europe for many, many years. He stopped when he put his Rolls Royce around a tree in France and killed himself. Yeah. And then I think it was Clinton Cards bought him out.
Yeah.
But they had stores in every high street. They were amazing.
Yeah.
And these are a selection of this woman's work. And in here is the first... He went to a party in Chelsea in the 1950s. And there was this little woman about 4 foot nothing that looked like that. Yeah. And said, oh, you're an artist. Oh, right, well, I'm thinking of starting a new company like things I've seen in America. Would you do some artwork for me?
Yeah.
And she was his most important illustrator. And in here somewhere... We've got the first one that she ever did for the whole company. And they're just gorgeous. You know, they range from the 70s through to the 90s. That's the first one, in blue.
Oh, right, yeah, sure.
And she was so important that people collected Marion cards and framed them and put... This is just after the war when there's a shortage of everything.
Yeah.
So they were buying these for some colour, for something different. And it's just a wonderful one. But these are considered illustrations... They're not considered paintings.
Right.
But of course, now all the artwork, in the past, for 300 years, book illustrations were done, used, very often discarded, but they were used. But there was a physical piece of paper. And the same with the film industry. They had drawings. I didn't bring any with me, but I've got some. They had drawings that they filmed,
yeah,
individually framed, 32 per second, and that made your cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, Steamboat Willie is a lot of drawings.
That's right, yeah.
Right. Now, it's all on computers, so the supply isn't coming through because you can't take a little plastic chip.
No, that's right.
Frame it and put it on the wall and say, that's the original artwork for Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, that's right. No, it doesn't work that way, does it?
Doesn't work that way.
So, need some paper.
So these are getting scarcer and scarcer, yeah, and scarcer. And you know, more and more in demand. But so art is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that you can think of has started off somewhere with a guy with a pencil, or now a computer, saying, I'll make this microphone cover this shape.
Right.
I will draw it, and then they hand, although nowadays on a computer, they pass that vision to a manufacturer, and the manufacturer makes it. So whether it's your mug, your car, a book cover, everything starts with somebody's idea.
Yeah.
And the physical representation of that idea used to be on paper.
But it's not anymore.
And
it's
now
all changing.
It's on computers. It's all changing. So you're getting a bigger audience for the original pieces of paper.
So if somebody's listening now and they think to themselves, I've got an old painting in the loft and I want to know if it's worth any money, can they bring it to you?
Yeah, give me a call first to make sure I'm going to be there.
Okay.
Bring it in. If it's, there's a couple of charities that we sell things for.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll say, look, it's worth next to nothing. I won't charge you a valuation fee, but I'll just sell it and give the money to the charity.
Yeah.
So we do that. If it turns out that I have to spend a lot of time researching it, then there's a fee.
Yeah.
But I mean, we had one person bring in a picture for cleaning, actually, a family portrait, and it ended up being worth something like $30,000.
Ooh, it's a nice little find.
They were delighted.
Yeah.
They were actually. It was quite interesting because they were delighted on the one hand, but they were worried on the other. Instead of just enjoying it themselves, now they were worrying because it was worth a lot of money.
In case it gets stolen. Didn't give it a second thought to start with.
Exactly. They never thought about it to start with.
It's been above the fireplace for 20 years, love.
Exactly. So that, but it shouldn't make any difference. It should be that you actually like something or you don't like something.
Yeah.
What amazes me is people will come in the gallery and say, no, there's nothing here. Now, if you walk in my gallery, if you walk in past my gallery, you'll see 100 pictures.
Yeah.
So what they mean is there's nothing here that I like.
You wanted the picture of a boat.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I say, so you don't like Constable. I mean, next to my desk, I've got a Constable.
Right.
Watercolour of Windsor Castle. So I'll say to them things like, so you don't like Constable, you don't like Banksy, you don't like Tracy. Oh, no, I like those. And what they're saying is, I don't have the confidence to say what I like.
Yeah.
If the artist is famous, they must be good.
Yeah.
If the artist is good, I must like it.
Yeah.
And out of their mouth comes, oh, isn't it lovely? Mark Rothko is famous. I think they're firewood.
Yeah.
Jackson Pollock doesn't even qualify as firewood, in my opinion. there was a lovely story with a friend of mine. A friend of mine used to deal in Chippendale furniture, and he was the world expert, the authority on Chippendale furniture, a man called Ronnie Lee. And I went to see Ronnie one day. I mean, he was very posh, very smart, and all the rest, West End gallery and all that. And I went to see Ronnie one day, and he was falling about laughing. And he told me that what had happened was 3 months earlier, an American client had come in. And we're talking 30 years ago. But an American client had come in and said, I want to buy some Chippendale furniture, and I want you to come and look at my Jackson Pollock painting that I've just bought. For a straight million, and that's when the dollar and the pound were parity.
Oh, my word.
So, long time ago. So, and Ronnie said, don't like them. And, I mean, he knew my taste as well. So
Yeah.
Don't like them. I said, no. He said, no, I really want you to come and see my painting. I've just bought it. I'm having it flown to my South Louisiana home. Ronnie, I'll send my jet for you. Take you to South Louisiana. Have a week off. Come and see my painting. And Ronnie said, nope, don't like them. Think they're rubbish. Anyway, the guy bought the Chippendale furniture, went off. The morning that I went to see Ronnie, this American had been in earlier in the morning. And the American had come in looking a bit sheepish. And they were having a cup of coffee and discussing various things. And it turned out that the man had gone to his South Louisiana home. The curator had hung his picture for him.
Yeah.
They walked in the door, and as they opened the door, all the paint fell off the canvas. I mean, all of it.
No, really?
Yeah. Anyway, so when Ronnie stopped laughing, it turned out it was because of the humidity, and Jackson Pollock didn't prime his canvases. And just the change in the humidity and opening the door.
Oh, my word.
Just opening the door changed the air pressure enough for everything to drop off. Anyway.
So he's got £1 million worth of paint on the floor.
Yeah, basically. So,
laugh really.
Well, £1 million worth is might be the wrong word. But anyway, yeah. Paint that cost £1 million.
Yeah.
So when he said, when he stopped laughing, he said, what can you do? And the guy said, nothing.
That's the end of that, then.
That's the end of that. He said,
a nice piece of canvas.
And Ronnie said, can you claim on your insurance company? And the guy said, well, actually, I could, but I own the insurance company.
Oh, well, that's the end of that. That's where that one finishes.
So Ronnie and I both thought that the best place for Jackson Pollock is in a dustpan.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, over the fireplace, yeah. Well, John, we're going to have to call this to an end now. You are a fascinating man. You really, really are. So your website address is?
Brandlergalleries.com.
And your telephone number is?
222269.
Lovely. If anybody's got any photograph, you've got any photograph or anything.
Just email me. Just email me. Give me a call, whatever.
And you'll sort it all out.